If you have your Bibles tonight, turn with me please to the book of Acts, chapter number 11. Acts chapter number 11. The Sunday that Brother Coulter was ordained, I preached out of Acts chapter 12 that morning. And I've got a thought on my heart tonight out of chapter 11 that I'd like to share with you and trust it'll be a blessing. If you will, stand with me tonight in reverence to the Word of God. And if you didn't know, and it's possible that you didn't know, and I always tell folks if you're able to stand with us, that's fine. But over in the book of Nehemiah, they found the book of the law, and Ezra, the Bible said, stood upon a pulpit of wood. So I don't believe Ezra's pulpit looked like this. He didn't stand behind it. It was just something to elevate him so that others could see him and hear him. And the Word of God said that they stood and read in the book of the law 1/4 part of the day. So that's where we get that as far as the Scripture. I don't always do it, but when you've been sitting for a while, I think it's good. Let's start reading in verse number 19 tonight in chapter number 11 of the book of Acts. The Bible said, "Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, they spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus." And I love this right here. The Bible said, "And the hand of the Lord was with them." Dear God, if there's anything we need in these days, we need the hand of the Lord to be with us and to be on us. And the Word of God said, "A great number believed and turned unto the Lord." In verse 22, "Then tidings of these things came into the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch." Been a long time since this phrase kind of got to mulling over in my heart and my mind, but the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. And I want to preach a little while tonight on why these folk were called Christians. They're called Christians not by themselves, but by others. They're called Christians not to lift them up, but to put them down. Yeah. Are you listening to me tonight? This Christian is talking about little Christ. These people were running around, and they reminded others of the Christ that had been crucified and was buried and rose again the third day. And this morning, as I was teaching the teenagers, I drew two moons on the board. I drew like a little slice of the moon, and then I drew a full moon. And I asked the youngins this morning, I said, "Does the moon have light?" And one of the young men said, "No, it doesn't have any light. It reflects the light of the sun." And I said, "Okay, then why is it shaped like this at one time and there's just a little sliver at another time?" And nobody knew the answer to that really. They kind of a general answer because the planets, but it's the earth that gets between the sun and the moon. And I asked the young people this morning, and I'll ask you the same thing. Are we supposed to shine like this? Or are we supposed to shine just a little sliver? What determines the difference is how much of the world is between us and him. Did you hear me? I believe these people that I'm reading about, where they were called Christians first in Antioch, were shining like this, don't you? They were reflecting the Son of God. You can be seated. Pray with us, please, and pray for us. Our Father, we thank you tonight for the privilege to be here in the house of God. Lord, good numbers come out on Sunday night, and I thank you, Lord Jesus, for each one. And I know there'd be others here tonight, Lord, if it weren't for sickness. Some are out of town tonight. I pray, dear God, that you'll just help those that are here tonight. Always comforts me, Lord, to know that before the foundation of the world, you knew who would be here tonight. Nothing ever takes you by surprise. And God, you gave a message tonight to this preacher for these that are here tonight. And I pray, Lord, it'd be a blessing. God will give you glory. In Jesus' name, and amen, and amen. I'll try not to be before you too long, but I want to give you some things tonight in the text that I believe that was the reason that they had no problem calling them Christians in this generation here at Antioch. First of all, tonight, I believe the first thing that stuck out in the eyes of others as they looked upon these disciples was how that they handled persecution. You and I, beloved, listen tonight, we need to think about this. We know that you and I are not going through, we are believers, we're born again, we're the church of the living God. The book of Thessalonians said we're not appointed under wrath. I don't believe we're going through the great tribulation. But I'll tell you this, there's nothing in this Bible that would, my friend, tell us that we couldn't go through some very troublesome waters before that Jesus comes again. We could go through a time of persecution. I want to say this, and I think this is something that's not preached enough in the United States of America. Around the world right now, there are Christians being persecuted in many countries. They have to take their Bible and go underground. They can't come and meet in a building like this. Amen. There's places where they don't even have a Bible, where families will have a page out of a Bible and share that page with another family and swap pages, and they'll memorize and teach and preach the Word of God from just a page in the Word of God. And you and I have got four or five of them. Say amen, or eight or ten of them. Amen. We said this morning we got to get back in it. But how they handled persecution. Watch what the Bible said. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen. Turn with me in your Bibles for just a moment tonight to chapter number 5 and verse number 40 and 42. I think we should get this in our heart and get it in our mind. Should we have to face, amen, persecution in this generation? Notice what the Bible said in chapter 5 and verse number 40. And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them. Do you see what that said right there? They beat them. Now I'm going to tell you something right now. My daddy whooped me four times in my life. My daddy knew how to whoop a son. But this beating right here, the whooping that I got from my daddy would not even compare with the beating that these apostles took right here. I tell everybody, you know, the difference between a whip and a whooping. A whipping's three or four good licks. A whooping's three or four licks shy of eternity. Amen. And that's what I felt like I was getting when my mama whooped me every day. Amen. I don't remember a one of them. Daddy whooped me four times and I ain't forgot a one of them. Daddy knew how to whoop. Amen. But here, they're beaten. Much worse, beloved, than anything we would think about as far as chastisement. And the Word of God said, beating them, they commanded them not to speak in the name of Jesus, and they let them go. I'll tell this real quick. My wife told me this a little while back, and I thought it was kind of funny. They said there was a Dollar General bag blowing through the air. Somebody says, hurry, catch it before it hits the ground and takes root. Amen? They're popping up everywhere. Well, here in the early church, beloved, listen, these people were speaking in the name of Jesus. There were churches popping up everywhere, and people were believing on the Lord, amen. And they said, we got to nip this in the bud. We got to shut this down. Let's beat these men. But I want you to see how they handled persecution. The Word of God said, they commanded they should not speak in the name of Jesus. They let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council.
What's the next word? Is that what we do when we suffer? I said, is that what we do when we suffer? They're rejoicing, watch this right here, that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. I think we ought to get this in our heart. We ought to get it in our mind. If that comes to that place, beloved, that somebody wouldn't be, listen, they come in here and they get the preacher and they haul him out. Somebody wouldn't be crying, but somebody would be shouting and rejoicing, amen, that we're still standing for what's right in this generation that we live in. So many have compromised and rolled over. They've got them another Bible. They've got them another way. But God's men and God's people understand there's only one way to heaven. That's through the Lord Jesus. The Bible said daily in the temple and in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you something right now. They said, y'all quit. You know what they said? We can't. You know what I believe? We need a bunch of Christians. When they say, y'all quit, we just say, sorry. We get like the Word of God said, we ought to obey God rather than man. God didn't say to quit. God said to be faithful. The Word of God is teaching us here. They called them Christians because they handled how they handled persecution. Look at this with me. In chapter number 7 and verse number 54. Y'all know these verses. I know you do, but I want you to think about it. Here's Stephen. He has preached a sermon. He said, man, I tell you what, I wouldn't brag if I only preached one sermon. I'll tell you what, God brags on Stephen. I'm going to brag on him. Amen. He was the first martyr. He died for the truth. He died because, beloved, he didn't trim the message. The message that he had for these Jews, beloved, pricked them in their heart. He told them exactly like it was. Watch what the Bible said. Verse 54. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But, I love that word in the Bible, but he, being full of the Holy Ghost, he looked steadfastly into heaven, and he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing. I don't know. But it's the first time you see Jesus standing after he rose again and went back and sat down at the right hand of the Father. I believe, listen, the other day I walked up to the graveside of Brother John, and they had the military honors there, Brother Wayne. And I walked up to the men and I said, I salute every one of you. Thank God for your willingness to go fight for this country. Thank God for that flag. Amen. But I believe, beloved, listen, our Lord and Savior stood up and saluted Stephen as he came into the glory of heaven. Amen. The Word of God said here, he being full of the Holy Ghost, he looked up steadfastly into heaven. He saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And he said, behold, I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried with a loud voice, stopped their ears, ran upon him with one accord, cast him out of the city, and stoned him. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, what a way to die. With rocks thumping you in the head and thumping you in the back and thumping you in the chest and thumping you in the legs and all over your body. What a way to die. Listen to me. The Word of God said here, they cast him out of the city, they stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. I'm telling you, God is working. Even as this child of God is going home, God's working. I believe what Saul saw that day, he never forgot. I don't believe he ever got over it. Amen. He had never seen anybody die like that. And the Word of God said they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Do you see this little Christ? Do you see this Christian? Do you see this man, beloved, that's repeating exactly what was said by the Son of God on Calvary's cross? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I contrasted years ago. I don't know what made it boil up inside of me, but I thought about years ago how Stephen died and then how Samson died. And I know I've said this in this pulpit before, but I believe it's worthy of repeating. Samson died with his eyes gouged out, praying that God would avenge him of his enemies. give me my strength back one more time. And God gave it back to him. By the way, beloved, listen, I'm not saying that we should promote suicide, but anybody that tells you that a man that commits suicide can't go to heaven's lying. Let me say it again. Any man that tells you that a person that commits suicide can't go to heaven is lying. Let me tell you something, beloved. Listen, when Samson pushed those columns out, he knew what was about to take place. Somebody say amen. Now listen to me. I'm not promoting that, but I believe we ought to believe and read the Bible and believe it. Say amen. And when it caved in, the Word of God said that Samson killed more Philistines in his death than he did in his life. He died with his eyes gouged out, praying that God would avenge him of his enemies. Stephen died with his eyes on Jesus, praying that God would forgive him of his enemies. No wonder they wanted him to know these are little Christ. They're like that Jesus that we crucified. How they handled persecution. I don't know about you tonight, and I don't know that we will know until we get there. But I'll tell you this right now. You can already see some tidbits, Brother Larry, when somebody despitefully uses you or says something that's unkind about you or says something that's untrue about you. You can already see some tidbits in your life. Surely there's somebody, beloved, here tonight that's experienced a taste of rejection. Amen. I'm telling you this tonight, beloved. How that we handle persecution would be whether or not they would call us Christians in this generation. Amen. Secondly tonight, not only did they see how they handled persecution, but they saw how they honored preaching. I'll tell you something tonight. I preached in a service there the other night, and we came out of the funeral home, and some told me that they saw people laughing. I'm going to tell you something right now. My prayer is that somewhere or another the laugh will be taken away and conviction will fall on them. Amen. But I promise you this, if they die laughing, they won't be laughing after they die. You can laugh at the message of God. You can laugh at the man of God. But I'm telling you this right now, beloved, listen to me. This Word of God said, God said in Proverbs chapter 1, I will mock when their fear cometh. I'll laugh at their calamity. Beloved, they're not going to get the last laugh. But here was a group of people that honored the Word of God, that honored preaching. Amen. Look what the Bible said here, that in verse number 20, and some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, they spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. In verse number 19, Cyprus and Antioch preaching the Word, but none to the Jews only. I'm telling you, beloved, listen tonight. Listen to me tonight. I believe they were called Christians because they honored this book and they honored the preaching of the Word of God. It was not even completed yet. Amen. When Stephen's preaching, he's using mostly Old Testament. Amen. To show them where they are and where they came from. And then he declares plainly that this same Jesus, amen, that you've crucified is both Lord and Christ. He rose again the third day. He preached the gospel to them. Beloved, I believe the preaching of the Word of God needs to be honored in every generation. Beloved, if we'll honor the preaching of the Word of God, it doesn't matter who's doing. Let me say this to you tonight. Don't get caught up. Listen to me. Y'all have been around here long enough to know that Brother Don McCann, his preaching style is different than mine. Mine is different than his. Brother Long, your preaching style, don't get caught up in somebody's preaching style. Brother Larry, your preaching style is different. Amen. Don't get caught up in that. Beloved, listen, the question is that man of God standing behind the Word of God? And is he giving you God's Word? That's the question. Amen. And if he's giving you God's Word and it's a teaching style, you need to honor God's Word. If it's a preaching style, you need to honor God's Word. If it's quiet, honor the Word of God. If it's loud, honor the Word of God. We're all just who God made us. Amen. And it's not us that matters. It's the Word of God. Still making a difference in the lives of people. I read through the book of 1 Thessalonians this afternoon. And you I meant to make mention of this a moment ago, but if you look in Thessalonians, look at with me just a moment. I'm not preaching in Thessalonians tonight, but we talked about how they handled persecution, how they honored preaching. Look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 6. The Bible said, "And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word." Well, it does go good with the preaching too, don't it? Having received the word, what's the next two words? And much affliction. What's the next two words? Do we as Christians in this generation, is it normal for us to put affliction and joy in the same sentence? It's not, is it? We want to get out of the affliction if we can, amen? If we can get enough ibuprofen and Tylenol in us, amen? I'm not against taking medicine, don't get me wrong. But I'm telling you, beloved, every one of us in here can remember that our grandparents suffered better than we do. Would somebody say amen? I believe they had a closer walk with God than we do. They didn't gripe about every little pain and every little thing that was going on in their life, amen, because the things that God had blessed them with was so much bigger than the things they were suffering with. The Word of God said here, much affliction. Watch this, with joy. And that joy is the joy of the Holy Ghost. Turn over a page there. At least in my Bible, it is a page of Scofield Bible. Look in verse number 3 of chapter number 3. The Bible said that no man should be moved by these afflictions. I'm telling you something tonight. Listen to me. I'm not fussing tonight. But you know what afflictions do to some people? It moves them right out of the house of God. You know what afflictions do to some people? It moves them right away from their Bible. Oh, they love Jesus as long as Jesus is just handing out all the good things. Say amen. But I'm going to tell you something right now. I thank God for a man called Job. He said the same Lord that gives takes away. It don't matter if he's given or taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah tonight. How they handled persecution. How they honored preaching. And then how they had purpose in their life. I feel sorry for people that don't have a reason to get up tomorrow morning. You and I that are God's people, we have a reason to get up. We have a reason to get in this book. We have a reason to pray. We have a reason to let our light shine. And that reason is we have purpose in life. We love Him because He first loved us. The Word of God said here, "And when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave to the Lord." There's two young people in our church tonight. Logan's not supposed to be clinging to Miss Cindy anymore. Say amen. Because the Word of God said leave and cleave. Mary's not supposed to be clinging to Miss Lucy and Brother Richard anymore. Because they got married here a week or so back. Amen. And Brother Danny said, that knot will hold if they don't pick at it. Say amen. But what I'm saying is this. You and I that are saved by the grace of God are supposed to leave some things behind and on purpose cleave unto the Lord. Do y'all believe that tonight? And no wonder they called him little Christ, because they saw him hanging on to the Word of God. But listen to this. They saw him hanging on to the God of the Word. It's one thing to know the Word of God. It's another thing to know the God of the Word. And so they had purpose. I want to give you this tonight, and I'm kind of going out. I don't believe it's a stretch at all, but I believe they had a habit of praying. You say, Pastor, what would make you think such a thing, though it's not specifically said? I told you a while ago, the hand of the Lord's with them. If the hand of God is on people, and people are getting saved, people are believing, you can mark this down. Somebody's praying. Now watch this. They had a habit of praying. Here's where I got this from. The Bible said he was a good man, and in verse number 24, and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added to the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. Look at verse 26 with me for just a moment. And the Word of God said, "And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. Brother Larry, do you think it's a stretch to say that they're there with those people for a whole year and they had a habit of praying? I believe they prayed. Let me just show you a little bit about Paul's praying. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 15 for just a moment, if you would. I'll show you a little bit about how Paul prayed for God's people. Ephesians chapter 1, I'll find it here in just a minute. Ephesians chapter 1, I want to start reading in verse number 15. The Bible said here they assembled themselves in verse 26 with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Look at verse 15 of Ephesians chapter 1. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. What's he praying about? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what is the riches of the glory of the inheritance in saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of the power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him on the right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power, might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. I will tell you tonight, that's just a little example of how that Paul prayed for God's people. And you cannot make me believe that he and Barnabas were not in Antioch for a whole year teaching these people, not only, beloved, the Word of God, but teaching them the importance of developing a life of prayer and talking to the Lord. Amen. Listen, there were much people, I believe, when they got saved, they began, like Brother Wayne said a while ago, to pray for their loved ones, like Sister Carol has asked us over and over, a burden in this altar. And beloved, listen, I believe there was a habit of prayer in the disciples' lives. And it made a difference. It made them called Christians at Antioch. Look with me at Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 16 for just a moment. You have another example. I won't be long. In Ephesians 3 and verse number 16, the Bible said that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height. Look at this. And to know the love of Christ. Oh, hallelujah. What Paul's praying for the church is that we know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. I love verse 20 and 21. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church. I want you to know, I believe they were teaching them the habit of prayer at Antioch. And I believe at Antioch people are getting saved. And I believe there's glory in that church at Antioch. Therefore, they said, let's call them Christians. It wasn't, beloved, the people in the church that called them Christians. It's the people in the world. Look at all them little Christs running around. Now, I'm not going to name names, but in fundamentalism, in years gone by, decades gone by, there have been men that wanted to reproduce themselves. They wanted a bunch of them, little of them, running around in the United States. I'm going to tell you something right now, that's a bad mistake. We need a bunch of men, beloved, and a bunch of ladies that'll be like Jesus. Like Jesus. Like Jesus. So there was a habit of praying. And then I want to say this tonight, and I'm finished. I know Miss Eve's proud of me. I used the right word right there. I normally say I'm done. But anyway, I try to make her proud of me at least once a week. I'm finished. Just a moment. I believe the last thing that you see here, the Bible talked about, and a great number believed in verse number 21. They taught the people. And beloved, let me say this. Both preaching and teaching are important. Neither one, beloved, outweighs the other. Amen. They're both important. And I believe, really, if you're preaching the Word of God, it ought to be teaching the people something. Amen. You don't have to separate the two. But watch this. I'll give you this. And the Bible said here, they taught much people. And the Bible said in verse 24, much people was added unto the Lord. The last thing I believe the world saw, and I believe this with all my heart, was a humble people. And they called them little Christ. They called them Christians first at Antioch. If you've ever been saved by the grace of God, you didn't leave the altar with your chest stuck out, telling everybody, look at me. But you left the altar knowing that you were absolutely not worthy of what He had done for you. And you left the altar, beloved, not telling the world to look at me, but telling the world to look at Him. Look what He did in my life. And you know, I've heard preachers say this, Brother Long, and I know what they mean. If He could save me, He can save anybody. And I believe that. He can save anybody. That's why the Word of God said, whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. I don't believe these people were running around in Antioch, sitting under the teaching of Paul and sitting under the teaching of Barnabas. I don't believe they were running around like little peacocks, amen, and full of pride. I believe they were running around like little sparrows that were sung about tonight, Sister Tina, realizing that it was a Heavenly Father that was feeding them, a Heavenly Father that had His eye on them, a Heavenly Father that had took care of them. And tonight, I believe they were a humble people. And I believe that's what God wants us to be, amen, is a humble people. I have actually told, I'm not going to name names tonight, but I've actually told people about different individuals that God has put in my life. Individuals that as far as this world goes have been very successful. Amen. And at the same time, as far as the things of God goes, have been very successful. But I said, if you met them on the street, you'd never know it. They don't come up to you bragging on what they've accomplished or bragging on what they have. Say amen. But they'll come up to you in a humble fashion, or you talk to them, it'll be in a humble fashion, because they haven't forgotten that every good and perfect gift comes down from above. Amen. And we don't deserve tonight, listen to me, we don't deserve what we have. There's not a one of us tonight that deserves to bow our knee and bow our heart and have access into the holiest of all tonight. We don't deserve that. We don't deserve a home in heaven. We don't deserve one another's friendship. We don't deserve one another's fellowship. We don't even deserve to have a copy of God's Word in our hand. We don't deserve the meal that we ate tonight or that we ate today. But because of the grace of God, He's given us all these things. You see, it rains on the just and the unjust. The difference is, the just realize we don't deserve the rain. And the just, they always think they deserve the rain and more. Amen? How many's glad you come tonight? I'll tell you tonight, He's a good God. Brother Larry, you ever heard this statement? I've heard it. Maybe you have. Maybe you haven't. If He's a preacher, the woods are full of them. You ever heard a statement like that? You ever heard a statement like this? If he or she's a Christian, the woods are full of them. That's not what was going on at Antioch. Those people walked humbly with the Lord, and others noticed. Amen. I say, God help us if somebody's ever say that about us. Amen. We ought to walk with Him, talk with Him, be a reflection of His grace. We ought to brag on Him, not on ourselves. We ought to brag on Him. Amen. Let's stand tonight. Thank you for being here. If you need this altar, it's always open.